you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
America, the Wednesday, February 12th, 2014 edition. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. And 718-305-7176 is the number. Not really too sure what's going on with the Blog Talk Radio chat room thing. I would launch the chat room if I could launch the chat room, but since there's no button to do it, that is something that I simply cannot do. 718-305-7176 is the number. And thank you very much for being along this evening. As you are probably aware, there is another major storm that is hitting Dixie as we speak. I think Atlanta is being inundated again. Here are some headlines from Drudge. Historic ice storm unfolds in the south. Georgia is warned, catastrophic. National Weather Service, travel impossible. Amtrak suspends service. Ice from Texas to North Carolina. Cars abandoned on snow-covered roads. Thousands without power. Panicked shoppers fight over food. Up to 14 inches in New York City. Man puts gun to plow driver's head. Psychiatrist, tremendous amount of seasonal affective disorder. All right. Hey, it's a snowstorm. It's not, I mean, I guess for some people, I've got to be honest, I don't really understand this at all. I lived in Syracuse, New York for about 11 years or so. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, the kind of snowstorm that literally will cost people their lives in places like Atlanta or Dallas-Fort Worth or, you know, other southern cities, Mobile or something, would not even provoke a casual remark in Syracuse or anywhere in upstate. Now, I mean, it's just something that people live with and they deal with it up there. It's no big deal. They know how to handle it. They know how to drive in it. But apparently no one south of, I guess, around the 41st parallel of latitude knows how to deal with it. It is just bizarre. I wish those people well. I don't think you have to be any kind of a serious genius to know that they really dropped the ball the last time. And they have not, you know, I'm hoping, I think I saw the governor of Georgia on TV earlier tonight saying something to the effect that this burden is on our shoulders and we will take care of it. And, you know, they expect to be able to do a better job this time than they did last time. Southern politics is problematic. I think most people understand that a place like Louisiana is as crooked as the Mississippi River. I have actual proof of that. It's been this way in New Orleans for a very long time. The former mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, this is from the Associated Press via Yahoo News and Drudge. A June 11th sentencing date has been set for former New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin, who has been convicted of bribery, fraud, and money laundering. A jury convicted Nagin today, Wednesday, on 20 federal criminal counts. That would mean Title 18 of the U.S. Code. The bribes came in his two terms as mayor from 2002 to 2010. The 57-year-old Democrat is remembered for his impassioned pleas for help after the levees broke during Katrina. Prosecutors say the crime spanned both terms, including the time after Katrina devastated the city. I'm looking at a picture of this guy. I think he just sort of, he kind of looks like the kind of, crooked Paul that would take bribes. And he was a completely incompetent mayor, as anybody that paid any attention to Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans can testify. I mean, there was, I don't know if you have read the book called The Great Deluge by Douglas Brinkley. Great book. I think it came out a year and a half or so after Katrina. And Ray Nagin dropped the ball big time. It's more than dropping the ball. Ray Nagin acted as if he didn't even know that there was a ball. He was just, he was out to lunch the entire time. I do recommend the book called The Great Deluge by Douglas Brinkley. It is very precise in its statements. Douglas Brinkley is an historian by profession, very good writer. He edited the Reagan Diaries, which I just finished reading. I think Linda gave it to me for Christmas of 2012, and it took me a year to actually read. And this is the abridged version. I can knock back a page or two at night lying in bed, and then finally I fall asleep, and most mornings I would wake up with the book on the bed, or that's basically how I read things nowadays. However, you will recall that shortly after the floodwaters subsided, there were a lot of photographs taken in New Orleans. The New Orleans city government failed at every single level and in every single way. They were offered fast exit trains by Amtrak. They told Amtrak no. There was apparently a lot of corroboration of the fact that various people in the New Orleans city government received phone calls from executives at Amtrak saying, we will clear the rails and we will get your people out of there. You know, you can put 1,000 people or so on a passenger train. Modern Amtrak, they could have gotten them 1,000 people at a time out of there, probably a train load like that every hour. Could have gotten 6,000 or 8,000 people out of there in time. Ray Nagin basically said thanks, but no thanks. Later, he denied it. Then there was that famous picture of the school buses. It looked to me like there were maybe 100 of them in a parking lot with fences around it. And shortly after that picture came out, people began saying, why were those school buses not used to get people out of town? And Ray Nagin and his people in New Orleans City Hall, I've been to New Orleans a couple of times. It is a great place. I absolutely recommend it to anybody. But Ray Nagin and his bureaucrats in City Hall began trotting out some line about a memorandum of understanding with the school board. I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, I suspect that maybe Shakespeare was right. I don't know. I think it's from his play called Twelfth Night, in which one of the characters says, first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers, all right? Look, generally speaking, I like lawyers. I've had quite a few lawyers as personal friends in my life. My best friend in Baltimore is my lawyer up there. One of my best friends here in Delaware is also my lawyer here. I like lawyers. I kind of like them a lot, actually. I don't always like what they do. And I think now there are so many lawyers. 60% of the lawyers in the world are in the United States. Why we have allowed our court system to become basically like this thrashing ground for any little thing that happens, it's absurd. However, there are so many lawyers out there that now there is so much red tape, there are so many governments and things in this country, organizations, whether they are non-governmental or governmental organizations, that you can almost not do anything without a lawyer being there to tell you you're doing this, or you can't do that, you can't do this. I mean, there was a regional emergency, literally what some people were calling a 500-year storm or a 1,000-year storm that hit New Orleans and that part of the Gulf Coast in around Labor Day of 2005. I think August 31st is when it really hit New Orleans. In Doug Brinkley's book, The Great Deluge, one of the scenes from the book that I remember, and I've been to New Orleans. It is a great, great city. If you have not been there, let me put it this way. Do you like good food? I mean, seriously, do you like good food? If you don't, maybe you like really good music. You know, if either one of those things are on your sort of daily to-do list, I would recommend going to New Orleans. You cannot get a bad meal in New Orleans. Now, a lot of people say, oh, New Orleans is very poor. It's a very poor city. Hey, I've got news for you. New Orleans itself is not poor. There are a lot of poor people in New Orleans, but the city itself is not poor. There are plenty of very rich people that live in New Orleans. Every year they have the Mardi Gras, which means Fat Tuesday in French. They call it Mardi Gras down there. And I think something like $3 billion for this. I mean, people come to Mardi Gras 40 days before Easter. You know, it's basically your last opportunity to really misbehave before Lent. And it takes a lot of money. There is plenty of money there. There are a lot of poor people. And they, Ray Nagin, incompetent, bungling. Now he's probably going to get some jail time. I don't know if it's going to be like Rod Blagojevich. I don't think Blagojevich is ever going to get out. Not really sure what he was sentenced to. 718-305-7176. Incidentally, you're probably aware by now, because I'm sure you've been listening for a while, that our small company, conservativenationmedia.com, is growing. And one of the best ways that I came up with, anyway, to expand the lineup was to give our very own main man, well, sort of main man, Bing Fisher. You know Uncle Bing. He now has his very own show. Bing is a very interesting guy, incidentally. If you have not listened to his program, which is called American by Design, you should listen to it. Bing is an engineer. He's kind of a self-taught engineer. I don't know if he has a graduate degree in Chem-E or something like that, which is pretty serious. But he is one of the top engineers at the company for which he works, which is in Tennessee. Anyway, the show, American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with us 7 days a week. We are making some very big changes, and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, right here, where America always wins. 718-305-7176. Anyway, as far as Ray Nagin is concerned, you know, this guy, he is kind of like the Marion Barry of the South. Marion Barry was the mayor of Washington, D.C. In the 1980s and I think into the early 90s. One day in 1989 or 1990 or something, the FBI had gotten somebody. They had an informant, and the informant was a woman, and they set her up with another informant. I guess they were going to make some serious federal charges go away against the first informant. And this woman calls Marion Barry to her hotel room and says, come on in and let's pull some freebase hits off at a crack pipe. So there is Marion Barry on hidden video camera pulling them freebase hits off of the old crack pipe, which is something you shouldn't do. Nobody should do that, incidentally. Anyway, they busted Marion Barry. I think his own District of Columbia police security team actually tried to stop the FBI agents, where they tried to let him know that something was happening. It was bizarre. But he was, I think he had served his maximum term limits as mayor. He was in jail for a little while as a result of this. Then he ran for city council, and they elected him to the city council. You know, there are some people that are going to vote not for a particular person, but they are going to vote for a particular type of person. I don't think I really need to say any more than that. Ray Nagin, after completely screwing up New Orleans's response to Hurricane Katrina, was reelected. It's the most incompetent mayor in big city U.S. history. It's just unbelievable. And it's probably indicative of the fate that awaits all of us. The fate that awaits you is more of your calls and some additional info on this storm and some political stuff. Hey, after all, this is Radio Free America. Stay where you are. Don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace, for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back. This is, of course, the Mighty Summer and Lightning by the Electric Light Orchestra. I can kind of do without the lightning, but I cannot do without the summer. At this moment in Lewis, Delaware, it is 30 degrees. It is about 8:20 p.m. on the night of February 12, 2014, a Wednesday. 30 degrees is supposed to warm up later on this week, and I'm very, very glad that it is. I played that optimistic Electric Light Orchestra cut almost any time that I can, because it is so great. You know, I'm sorry, I just absolutely love it. I'm not really sure what else to tell you. In any event, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. And I've got some great news. I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance, but actually, no. The chat room is open. I don't fully understand how, for some reason, buttons and panels and things on Blog Talk Radio seem to kind of move around and migrate all over the screen. I wish I knew why that was. I'm not a computer guy. You know I'm not. I mean, I've told you this before. 718-305-7176. I see some folks that are coming in to the chat room now. Welcome aboard. If you are getting inundated by the weather, you know, I'm sorry. Now, here is a headline. This is very, very interesting. This is from something via Drudge. It's from something called Media Trackers. I don't know anything about this organization. I have no idea. Somebody named Jesse Hathaway posted this yesterday. Documents from an Ohio National Guard training drill conducted last January revealed the details of a mock disaster where Second Amendment supporters with, quote, anti-government opinions were portrayed as domestic terrorists. The Ohio National Guard 52nd Civil Support Team training scenario involved a plot from local school district employees to use bioweapons in order to advance their beliefs about, quote, protecting gun rights and Second Amendment rights, unquote. I mean, all right, look, let's kind of begin taking this thing apart one molecule at a time. School district employees, those are government employees, and in the vast majority of places in this country, they are union employees, and unionized government workers, generally speaking, do not hold pro-Second Amendment views. Okay. This story goes on to say that apparently there's a town called Portsmouth, Ohio. I've never heard of it. Portsmouth Fire Chief Bill Raisin told NBC Channel 3, WSAZ-TV in Huntington, West Virginia, that the drill accurately represented, quote, the reality of the world we live in, unquote, adding that such training, quote, helps us all be prepared, unquote. Well, sadly, Mr. Raisin does not speak the English language very well. Prepositions do not go at the end of a clause. And I don't think that this is reality-based. I cannot understand why anyone in the National Guard would even think about trying to disarm American citizens. I don't get it. I suspect that, you know, and I've said this before, Thankfully, it has not come to this. But I believe one day it might. And that day could be this November, or it could be 2 Novembers hence. If the Democrats think that they are going to be faced with a veto-proof Republican majority in either the House or the Senate, I could see the Democrats doing something to essentially seize power, do things like shut down certain cable TV news operations. I don't want to name any names, but the initials of the one that comes to mind is the Fox News Channel. I could see the Democrats doing something like that. It is widely and well known that the Democrats in the U.S. Congress and in other places in the United States government for a long time have been trying to figure out a way to basically turn off the First Amendment so that they can control what news is reported and how, and so they can control what is said in newspapers, on the radio, on television, on cable, and on the internet. This is what the Democrats are all about. They believe in freedom of speech if you agree with them. If you do not agree with them, they do not believe in freedom of speech. It's really that simple. 718-305-7176 is the number. About 26 minutes after the hour, 26 minutes into hour number one of this Wednesday, February 12th edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Very glad that you could be along, whether you are listening live or whether you are listening in the chat room. It's all good. Now, here's another thing in which it says Homeland, whatever that means. I don't know if it means the Department of Homeland Security or if it means the TV show that's on that cable network, purchasing 141,000 more rounds of sniper ammo. They will buy 75 million rounds this year. I have no idea what on earth they, you know, what is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security doing with 141,000 more rounds of Snipo? Okay, all right. All right, I just clicked on it, and okay, we're not even going to go there. You know why? Because it's from Alex Jones. I don't have anything against Alex Jones. My best friend Bill McGarry really likes Alex Jones. I am pretty sure that Alex Jones is paranoid. This is somebody named Paul Joseph Watson. Look, I'm taking this with a grain of salt, very much a grain of salt. This post says the Department of Homeland Security is buying more bullets with a solicitation for over 141,000 rounds of sniper ammo. According to a solicitation posted on FedBizOps, the federal agency is looking to procure 141,160 rounds of Hornaday .308 Winchester 168 grain A-Max Tap ammunition. Such ammunition is sometimes retailed as Zombie Max, a marketing gimmick alluding to its power. Quote, what makes the .308 ammunition so deadly is the long-range capability of the round, notes James Smith. Quote, the ability is called ballistic coefficient, or the efficiency of a projectile in overcoming air resistance as it travels to its target, according to Spear Reloading Manual number 13. If it comes from the Spear Reloading Manual, especially number 13, you know it's right. But I digress. The .308 165 grain has the highest coefficient of any hunting rifle. unquote. They're talking about ammunition, not a rifle. I don't know anything about guns, and even I know the gun. Come on, Alex. Why would I? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even bothered. It's pretty unbelievable. However, you know, I really don't trust those guys in D.C. I don't trust them at all. And they are people who simply, you know, they talk about being Democrats and the Democrat Party. And, you know, my dad used to tell me when I was a kid that Franklin D. Roosevelt constantly tried to draw a connection in Americans' minds between the entire concept of democracy and the Democrat Party. Democracy, Democrats. Democracy, Democrats. That's one of FDR's big things. They really do not believe in the idea of government by the people, of the people, or for the people. They don't believe in that. Anyway, I am going to presume that since you are listening to us here at conservativenationmedia.com, that you are a conservative. That means you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case that leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in emergency. Hey, you're not going to be able to call on the 52nd Ohio National Guard Regiment or whatever because they're training to kill people like us, right? I think. I don't know. Now, since you don't want the government to drop the ball on you, you are going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. We've got your pipeline to those essentials right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. More coming up. Stay right where you are.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Look at you, Lord. See the love, the
is a good thing to start back in with a little Beatles action there from the White Album. You know, obviously a few days ago we had the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' first performance on the Ed Sullivan Show. I remember seeing their second performance on Ed Sullivan, I think some night in 64 or 65, something like that. In the third grade, when they were the spring of 1964, early part of 64, I was in the second half of the third grade. And my teacher at the Elizabeth Morrow School in Englewood, New Jersey, was this very nice English lady named Mrs. Harvey. Mrs. Harvey was an excellent teacher, and the fact of the matter is, you know, I think that private schools in America are very, very likely to try to get English people from England over to teach, as long as they're good teachers, obviously. There's just something about, you know, I don't know what it is. There's something about the English. There's, you know, authentic. I'm not really sure, but they, you know, certainly in terms of their command of the English language, I think that most Americans would probably concede that the Brits, you know, have a better command of it than we do. And I think that that's probably correct. But the Beatles were all the rage in late 1963 and early 64. And I remember Mrs. Harvey had taken a sheet of construction paper and had cut out profiles of the Beatles. You couldn't see their faces, but she had gotten Paul McCartney playing the bass left-handed, correct. And here were these cutouts made of construction paper that any child would have recognized of the Beatles. And Mrs. Harvey said to all of us, and she held this up, and she said, "Do you see these four gentlemen? They are from Liverpool, a city in England. I do not expect to hear their names mentioned in this classroom." I mean, you know, she really, really hated the Beatles. And I've got to be honest with you, I don't know why. I mean, the Beatles? Look, I can see somebody hating the Rolling Stones. I don't hate the Stones. I just never really liked them. You know, yeah, the Beatles had long hair. They smoked a lot of jaw. They tripped this and they, you know, Ravi Shankar that and all this sort of stuff. But looking back on the Beatles now, from our perspective today, they were pretty tame. No, I did not see McCartney and Ringo Starr on the Grammy show. I don't watch that kind of thing on TV. I watch Law and Order, but I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number. Here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, they raised the borrowing limit again. The U.S. government has raised its debt limit, I think, by about $1 trillion. This is from Breitbart via Drudge. Let's see. Before the House voted to raise the debt ceiling without any spending restrictions or restorations of the military pension cuts, yesterday, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi reportedly warned her members not to act like Seattle cornerback Richard Sherman and taunt the, quote, mediocre, unquote, GOP leadership for caving. And that's literally what the GOP leadership did. They caved. According to the Washington Post, though Pelosi remained coy before the vote about whether she could deliver enough Democrats to pass the clean debt increase, behind closed doors, Pelosi and her lieutenants, quote, instructed rank-and-file members, don't gloat, take it in stride, and hang together, unquote. In the end, Speaker John Boehner and House Majority Leader Eric Cantor were among only 28 Republicans who voted with 193 Democrats on the clean debt ceiling hike. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew had insisted that the debt ceiling be raised by February 27th if the nation did not want to face default. It's getting very tiring. It is getting very tiring. I am beginning to believe that our government is so incredibly broken, and what passes for ethics in Washington, D.C. is so profoundly flawed, and that the self-interest, the individual self-interests of the politicians, the permanently entrenched career politicians in Washington, has completely overwhelmed any sense of doing what is right for the nation. These guys are interested only in their own re-election. They literally could not care less about anything else. I just don't, you know, it's really disgusting. Now, we had a great guy, Linda and I, on Sunday, who you hear on our network every once in a great while. He may be back next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, incidentally, Brad Bierman will be joining me to talk a little tiny bit about the Super Bowl. Remember that? And also, now, tonight, I'm not a particular college sports fan. I'm not really a sports fan at all, as you're probably aware by now. But Syracuse University men's basketball team right now is 23-0. I think Brad said there are 46 games in there, or 50, whatever there are. He said he thinks tonight Syracuse University Orange Men might be 23-1. He thinks that a school he referred to as Pitt, which I believe is the University of Pittsburgh or something, might beat Syracuse tonight. I don't know. But anyway, Brad will be with us next week to talk about sports. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, at this moment, we are less than 6 weeks away from Major League Baseball opening day. I do follow the Orioles fairly assiduously year-round, and I am just very much hoping that they have a better year. They were okay last year, but they didn't win the pennant. If you win the pennant, I guess I'm happy. You know, what do we got here, Red? The Salvation Army Band? Anyway, 718-305-7176, welcome aboard. There are people in the chat room, and that is a good thing. We are about 16 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. We like to do things in a big way around here at conservativenationmedia.com, and we start off the work week every Monday in a big way with Inside Tennessee, starring Dave Vance. Now, even if you're not from the volunteer state, there are issues that are coming to the fore in Tennessee right now that are spreading out all over the U.S. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure that you check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Just about 15 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. I don't get the debt increase thing. They cannot force themselves to reduce spending. I mean, the United States government spends money in the most absurd, ridiculous ways. You know, it is almost a joke, and it was for a long time, that they're going to spend a couple of $100,000 to study the mating habits of the tsetse fly, right? Now, All kidding aside, if we understood more about the tsetse fly, or people were willing to make rules and regulations in Africa to halt the spread of the tsetse fly, and the tsetse fly carries a disease with it, which is called African sleeping sickness. And I believe it is fatal if it is not treated right away. I'm not sure exactly what the what it is all about, but the tsetse fly is what spreads that disease. If they were able to conquer the tsetse fly, Africa could possibly be something like the breadbasket of the southern hemisphere. I mean, the fact is there is plenty of fertile soil there, and they could grow using modern techniques an awful lot of food if necessary. But the problem is, no matter how mechanized and industrialized your agricultural system is, you still need human beings, individual human beings, to go out into the fields and to do various things. And if the tsetse fly is motoring around out there, you may come down with a fatal disease. So, the all this money to study the mating habits of the tsetse fly, it sounds like a joke, but it is just indicative of the kinds of things on which the United States government spends money. It is bizarre. It is bizarre. I think I know why they do. It's about 13 minutes now before the top of the hour. We are going to take a quick break, and when I come back, maybe you and I can talk this over at 718-305-7176. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Now you know how nice it seems.
All right, welcome back. That, of course, the great Mike Pinder and the Moody Blues from around 1967. It's called Have You Heard? And, you know, there was a time when I knew every album of the Moody Blues, and I've even forgotten the name of that tremendous album. It's not a question of balance. It's anyway, it'll come to me. If you know, give me a call, 718-305-7176. Message Center, Christian Kjellruf from Denmark. Message me on Facebook. He is our Northwestern European correspondent, and he will not be phoning in tonight because he's not feeling particularly well, and right now it's like 1 o'clock in the morning in Copenhagen or something. Anyway, we do have news from the Talk Radio News Service and Jeff Holtzman in Washington. That is coming up in about 9 minutes and 10 seconds, so don't go away. I have just been admonished, and I don't object to this, but the lovely Linda, my girlfriend with whom I live and share my life, just mentioned to me that my kind of stream of consciousness delivery is getting beyond the point that even she can comprehend or tolerate, and I understand that. I had mentioned Kevin Wade, and then I went to the tsetse fly, but in any event, the connection between those two things is this. Kevin, in 2012, became our friend. When he was running for the United States Senate as the Republican nominee from Delaware, our state. Delaware is very small. Geopolitically, it is the smallest state in the Union. Kevin is not a career politician, but, you know, there are several reasons why people want to get into politics and why people want to be elected congressman, mayor, senator, dogs, whatever. And sometimes their motivations are good and honorable, and sometimes they are not. Kevin, it seems to me, and he and I have talked about this at great length, I think is in the category of just a regular citizen who has just had about all he can take. I understand that. You know, government, in my view, has pretty much become the bad guy. Government does a lot of things that only government can do, and the U.S. government has done quite a few things that no other government in the world or in world history could do, as well as the U.S. government did certain things during its time here on the planet. Sadly, the majority of things that the United States government now does are not only unnecessary and superfluous, but are probably not constitutionally valid and are probably not constitutionally authorized in a strict sense. If you listened to this program 3 weeks ago, you would have heard my good friend Guy Chesensky and I discussing this very point. And we can look at the Constitution, and I believe it is Article 1, Section 8, that specifies that these are the things that the U.S. Congress can do, and it lays them out in incredible detail. And I just happen to have a copy of the United States Constitution with me. I keep one at all times. And let us see here. Section 7 is very interesting. I wonder if anybody at the Supreme Court has ever read Article 1, Section 7. Section 8 says, "The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the U.S. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow money on the credit of the U.S., to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states, and with the Indian tribes to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the U.S., to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and common coin of the U.S., to establish post offices and post roads, to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. Parenthetically, that would be called trademark and patent, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations, to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years, to provide and maintain a navy, to make rules for the government regulations of the land and naval forces, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, another power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptances of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States. In other words, Article 1, Section 8 spells out in great detail the limited powers of the U.S. Congress. There is, at the very beginning of the Constitution, the preamble in which is found something called the General Welfare Clause. And they have used, the Congress has used, and the courts have agreed with them, that for some reason, that one phrase in the preamble of the United States Constitution overrides Article 1, Section 8. I'm not really sure how that possibly, I don't know. Here's the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. It is just a couple of words in a preamble, but the so-called General Welfare Clause is exactly what the courts have used as a means to justify the Congress stepping out of its bounds that are very clearly and specifically laid out in Article 1, Section 8. They're out of control. In any event, this is one of the reasons why they spend all the kinds of money that they do on things like the National Cowgirl Museum. They are spending American taxpayers' money fixing up mosques, Mohammedan worship buildings in Mohammedan countries. I don't get it. I mean, those people despise us. Why on earth are we spending any money at all to help them? It's absurd. In any event, we do have news from Talk Radio News Service coming up and more chats right after that, so stay where you are.
Coming to you every hour on the hour. bang, but there may be a meteor shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Starting in January 2015, federal employees will earn a minimum wage of $10.10 per hour. President Obama is issuing an executive order which will apply to hundreds of thousands of people working under contracts with the federal government. Those who will benefit include nursing assistants who care for veterans, people serving food to troops, and individuals with disabilities working to maintain the grounds on military bases. Labor Secretary Tom Perez says the measure will be good for the country's economy.
When employers are paying a fair wage, they have a more efficient workforce.
The new 10-10 minimum wage will also apply to tipped workers, for whom the current federal minimum wage is $2.13. Obama wants Congress to vote soon on a democratically backed measure that would increase the minimum wage across the U.S., but it is unclear when that bill will hit the floor. There is not much of an appetite for the legislation among Republicans. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-10-9-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All righty, welcome back. Incredible Peter Gabriel and Genesis from 1974. That is Back in New York City from the Genesis album called The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. Unbelievable. I'm not necessarily sure that I would like to be back in my hometown of New York City right now. Number one, this guy named Bill de Blasio, who I was informed today, actually I had heard this before, his actual name, his given surname, is Wilhelm. But his mother's name is de Blasio. His father's name is, last name is Wilhelm. He changed it so that he could have a better political shot at office. You know, having a last name of Wilhelm, it's unlikely that any Jewish people in New York would vote for him. I think I can understand that. But with a name like de Blasio, that really fits in New York City's ethnic kind of mix very, very well. However, the man is a Marxist, and that's what he is. And the left now is constantly, you know, Obamacare is a disaster. There is news going around the internet that Eric Holder might leave the position of Attorney General this year, about 5 years too late, but hey, it's better than nothing. That is probably due to the idea that Darrell Issa and several other Republican-led committees in the House are beginning to investigate with some degree of seriousness a wide variety of things that the U.S. Justice Department and other branches of the executive branch of the U.S. government have been doing, and a lot of the things that they have been doing are wrongful. I mean, Fast and Furious is just one thing. The other serious, obviously, Benghazi is another one. It seems that there may be some inquiries made as to the nature of certain voting improprieties and certain other things, such as weaponizing divisions of the United States government, such as the IRS, using the IRS as a weapon against political rivals. And, I mean, we all know what's going on there. We all know what's going on there. Come on. You know, I mean, apparently two people got fired from the IRS, but at least one of them, and I've forgotten her name, it's this blonde chick, at least one of them was able to get a job in the Department of Education within a couple of days. When you get fired from the U.S. government, you don't actually get fired from the U.S. government. You are simply temporarily taken out of the U.S. government office in which you used to work. And you then, I think if you get fired from the U.S. government, they continue to pay you. So, I mean, look at Lois Lerner. No, wait, scratch that. I don't think anybody would want to look at Lois. If I were Lois Lerner, I wouldn't want to look in the mirror. Ugh, yuck. In any event, I think she was asked to resign from the IRS, and she said no. And it was like 2 months later, 2 or 3 months later, finally the commissioner of the IRS put her on some kind of a paid suspension administrative personal day, sick day leave, or some nonsense that only the U.S. government has terms and things like this in their employment, the way they do things vis-a-vis their employees. I mean, it's bizarre. And she remained on the U.S. government payroll now, and she's still on the U.S. government payroll. She's just retired. It's pretty unbelievable. Why governments treat their, you know, I'm beginning to think that, well, first off, our civil service laws are 130 years old. Nothing is going to change in the United States government, no matter who we put into the Congress, no matter who the American people send to do our bidding in the U.S. Congress, until the civil service laws are changed. The fact of the matter is, if you do a bad job, you should get fired. I mean, I've worked in radio my whole life, been fired half a day. I mean, if you work in radio, if you're on the air, it doesn't matter what kind of a job you're doing. It doesn't matter what your ratings are. When the new company that has bought the station comes in, they're going to fire you. Sometimes you can get a new program director who comes in. He just doesn't like you, and they'll fire you. That's it. There is just no way around it. You know, this is just something that happens in radio. Ask Rush Limbaugh. He's probably listening right now. He listens to us for show prep, I'm sure. in any event, this is simply something that happens in radio. It happens in a lot of other businesses. I have no idea why a government employee should simply be exempted from paying a penalty if they do things poorly or if they do something that's wrong. I mean, you know, this is the primary reason why our government functions the way that it does. And there is a rule in Washington, as President Reagan was on videotape famously telling Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth in either in England or in D.C. at some point, obviously in the 1980s, that there is a rule in Washington that senior D.C. executives, that, you know, you've got the GS, you've got the civilian employees of the government are paid on what's known as the general schedule, and there's a GS-19 and GS-21 and all this stuff. And, you know, if that's what your pay grade is, that's your pay grade. That's it. And above them is the SES, or Senior Executive Service. Those people get paid very, very well, but the more people they have under them, the more people they manage and supervise, the more money they earn. Now, it seems this is a very typical kind of way of thinking if you are a government functionary, that a person's pay should be based on how many people they manage. Well, that's bizarre, because nowhere in the real world is pay based on the number of people that are managed. It is rather based on the results that the manager obtains. And if the manager is able to do what it is he or she wants to do with one person, and that manager has figured out a way to gain profits of $1 million a month, then that is what the manager or the owner of the company will make. If they are managing 400 people, but they just can't reach certain financial thresholds, then they're certainly not going to make $1 million. I mean, the government simply needs to understand that keeping government employees locked in so that absolutely nothing wrong, that they can never lose their income, that is a major and huge problem. And that is the reason, a large reason, why our government is, quote, functioning, unquote, the way that it is. It's kind of disgusting. Now then, it should come as no surprise that our U.S. Constitution, which is the basis of our nation and represents the central core of our values, is under attack. I mean, go figure, right? Sometimes it seems that almost everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and the amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. Listen, I know somebody that's trying to do that, has been doing it for weeks. I don't want to name any names, but his initials are B. Hussein Obama. Now, if you, like me, are tired and disgusted by leftists and unfriendly political forces telling the American people that our Constitution really doesn't matter, be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and like me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee. It's about an hour southwest of Nashville on the weekend of this coming April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand. So will Kathy Hinners. You may remember Kathy. She was our Friday night host for several months and a great one. She's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of great music, great food. Of course, it's Tennessee. I mean, what do you expect? It's about the best food you've ever had. And a wonderful, splendid time is guaranteed for all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about it, and I very much do hope to see you there. 718-305-7176 is the number. Let's go right to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Duke?
Speaking.
Dude, this is Lori. How you doing?
Lori, how are you? I thought I recognized that number. How you doing, hon? What's going on?
Okay, I just wanted to call and tell you, you know what I think about how the government should run. I don't think that Congress should. I don't think that the Congress should get paid. Should only get paid minimum wage and only get paid when they're there. I don't think they should get paid all year round. I don't think they should get pensions after two times elected into office.
Well, I don't think that they should get any pensions at all under any circumstances, and I don't think any senator should be allowed to serve more than two terms, and I don't think that any congressman should be allowed to serve more than six terms. That's it.
A lot of people don't understand that. You know, for years ago, we didn't elect our senators; they were appointed. And I know a lot of people
get upset. It's been this way for 100 years. That's right, since 1913. Yeah. That's correct.
And what people don't understand is that they say, well, I want to elect my senator and this, that, and the other. But what people don't understand is when they were taken out of the House of Representatives and picked to go to Washington, that they were already knew what was going on with all the representative states in their state and things like that. They had to report back to the representatives and to the state. Now, when you elect a senator, let's say, just like we elected Chris Coons, who's from upstate, okay?
Yeah,
they,
I know him.
He has really no connection to anybody. He goes to Washington. He's not picked. He's never served in the legislature. He doesn't know what's going on with all the representative districts there. He goes to Washington. He does what he wants. He reports back on what he does, not what the people want. And now, and wherever he's at, do you ever see him downstate? Hardly ever at all.
He wouldn't come down here. So
I think it's better that they go back to the representatives, pick a senator out of the representatives, because at least they know their colleagues, at least they know that they were represented a place in the state, and that they went to Washington and they'd have to report back. I think it's better to do it that way. People think it's good to do it the other way. I don't. I think it's wrong. I think they ought to go back to the other way because we have a runaway senator here. He doesn't do anything, and now he's going to have some type of seminar up in Wilmington on Africa. All the stuff that's going over in Washington right now, all the stuff that's going down, we're going to learn about Africa.
He has a constituency. There are an awful lot of people that live in Wilmington, who ethnically feel a close connection with Africa. I'm trying to put this as charitably as I can, but it is time to basically get rid of the 17th Amendment. And the 17th Amendment changed the way United States senators come into office. As you mentioned, it was that the state legislatures would select their U.S. senators, and that meant that United States senators had to answer to their state legislators. In other words, they had to answer more or less directly to the people of their state. Now, and under those circumstances, Washington, D.C., had to answer to the states. Now the states have to answer to Washington, D.C., because the senators really are not accountable to anybody.
You said it better than the way I said it.
But that's what I meant. That's basically the deal. You know, the civil service laws are about 135 years old at this point. 1883 or something. I think Garfield was the president of the United States before he was assassinated. They have to go.
Yeah. I also have another problem with the way they do business. I think that every single senator and congressman should have to know the First Amendment before they even go in. They should have to have a course or a sit-down before they go into office on what the Constitution says. They take oaths to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and 78% of them have never read it. They don't know what it is. I mean, just like our senator, Senator Carper, said to me when I asked him what the first five freedoms of the First Amendment were, and he said he'll get his staff on it.
Unbelievable.
John Carney, you know the first five freedoms of the First Amendment? And he said he'll get back with me later. I mean,
it is beyond outrageous that a member of the United States Congress would not be able to simply off the top of their head from memory say, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor abridging the freedom of press, nor of speech, nor of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It is absolutely unbelievable that any American would not be able to simply say that from memory. It's not that hard.
Yeah. No, it's just all you have to remember is freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to assemble, and freedom to petition. That's all they would have to remember. And then to fill in the middle, you know, in whatever time. But see, another problem they have is this, too. Every time the Democrats come up with something that they don't like, okay, instead, and say the congressman, they look it up, and they say, hey, this is not constitutional. This is not right. Something like what Ted Cruz and them did when they shut down the government, something like that. It's just not right. And they don't stand their ground. What they do is they compromise. This is what they say. Well, they won't go up there and say, no, this is wrong. We're not going to do it. It's wrong. This is why it's wrong. Instead, they say, I'm going to get a comparable bill and put that up. And instead of saying it's wrong, we're not going to do it, take it off the table, forget it, they just turn around and say, well, we're going to do it like this. And they just, all they do is water down the bill that was already there. and it's wrong. The bill was bad. But no, they're so afraid that they're going to be called names or talked about or hollered at, or the people, the United States people are going to hate them, that they won't stand their ground. They turn around, they come up with another bill that's just as bad as the bill they had, just so they don't look like they're not doing anything.
Well, that is exactly correct. And, you know, one of the problems that we face is essentially the mentality of the career Washington, D.C. insider, which is all about compromise. No matter what, they're going to want to compromise. The Democrats, they talk about compromise, but they generally do not. The Republicans used to have some spine in Washington, but I don't know if they really do anymore. I kind of feel like they don't. And beyond that, you know, if your entire life is spent compromising with others, you will eventually lose the ability to engage in critical thinking. Not critical theory, that's something else, but in other words, you know, these people that constantly compromise with each other, it seems to me that they literally have no principles. Literally, they are so focused on how much they can compromise with someone else, they can't find true north anymore. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton was a guy that had essentially no moral compass. He couldn't find true north. He literally could not figure out what was the difference between right and wrong. He literally had no idea. He knew how to get somewhere politically and how to conduct himself once he got into office, but he really had no idea what is good, what is bad, what is kind, what is evil. He just didn't know. He had no idea. How did that guy ever get into office? He had no sense of propriety. He had no sense of dignity. I mean, the guy is in the Oval Office having his cigar smoked by Monica Lewinsky when the late Yasser Arafat is a couple of yards away in the Rose Garden waiting for President Clinton to come out and sign some Middle Eastern thing, you know, and then it comes out later that Bill Clinton was late for that appearance in the Rose Garden of the White House because he was in the Oval Office cavorting with Monica Lewinsky. Uh-huh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, but the half the country said, well, what he does in his private time is none of our business.
That isn't right.
Know,
yeah.
I know. For one thing, he was in, what, the White House? And whose house is that?
He was in the Oval Office.
Yeah. So, and what house is that? It's our house. It's the people's house.
That is exactly right.
And see, people don't get it.
You know, when you're on the first floor of the West Wing of the White House, mm-hmm. I don't care. Everything that you do is the business of the American people. When you're on the first floor of the West Wing, there are no exceptions to that. I don't care who you are. If you're in there, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're spending, what you're eating, it's not a private matter. It is everybody in the country's business. Now, in the residence, upstairs, third floor of the White House, that's different. That is where it is a dwelling. And, you know, that's different. That's where their bedrooms are, their bathrooms. They have a kitchen up there so that if the president and his family like to cook, they can do that. You know, that's pretty much the deal. But, you know, you're right. I mean, the things in Washington, I don't know if you heard me mention earlier that Kevin Wade was over to our house on Sunday. And we're talking about a couple of things, you know, and Kevin brought up something very interesting. He said, if the voters in Delaware do not get rid of Chris Coons this November, they can count on being stuck with him for at least the next 30 years. Because
of course,
most senators will serve 3, 4, or 5 terms, 18 years, 24 years, or 30 years. I think Bob Dole was the senator from Kansas for something like 42 years. I think Orrin Hatch has been the senator from Utah for over 30 years. Richard Lugar was the senator from Indiana for 30 years, and he took his office for granted to the extent he didn't even bother having a place to stay or a place to live in Indiana.
Well,
and
Indiana
address that he put down turned out to be an abandoned gas station that some political friend of his used to own like 30 years ago. And, I know he was a Republican. I'm sure Senator Lugar was a nice guy. I'm very glad he's gone, you know. People like John McCain and Orrin Hatch, they're Republican. They need to leave. They've been in there for too long. It's absurd.
Yeah, but see, I mean, he's not up till 2016, is he?
No, Chris Coons is up this year.
This year? Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right. Okay.
He's up
this
in November.
Year.
Yep.
Okay,
he's up in November. Because
he's not even campaigning.
No, and
he doesn't care.
You know,
until
we have a good nominee, and boy, I hope Kevin decides to run again. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I know things that other people do not know, but I can't really divulge them right now. Really hope that Kevin runs, and I hope that he wins, and we just need more regular, common-sense people in Washington, D.C., not people that are going there because they think they can make a buck and they also want to be somebody. And on top of that, they want to get on those Sunday shows and, you know, they're also going to tell everybody what to do. I don't want people like that in Washington.
What Chris Coons is good at is playing the game. The first thing he did was go to Washington, and when I watched C-SPAN every once in a while, and all I saw him around was John Kerry. He would show up when they did a full view of the room. He showed up every single time. Each time he was neck and neck with John Kerry.
Yeah, those were thick as thieves.
Yeah, yeah. And today, and what really makes me sick is that John Kerry is Secretary of State, and look what he did in the Vietnam era. And it makes me sick that somebody like this is going to go over there and do what he does when he did what he did to the boys who fought over in Vietnam and things like that. To me,
John Kerry, in my view, Lori, John Kerry is just as guilty of treason under Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution as Hanoi Jane Fonda was. Absolutely no question about it. Let me ask you this. Can you stand by? Can you hang with me for about 2 minutes while I take care of a little business, and then we'll pick up this conversation on the other side?
Okay. No problem.
Okay. All right. Stand by. Always a pleasure to hear from my good friend Lori Purdy. She and I are both Lori is a particularly dedicated Republican activist here in this part of Delaware, as is Matt Opalisky. I think that we're going to be hearing from him in a little while. Now, beyond having a Democrat in the White House and the Democrats controlling the Senate, one of the worst nightmares that can possibly befall an American is to be a victim of identity theft. I pray it never happens to you, but if it does, it might take months or even longer to recover from it. That is, if you can recover at all, and a lot of people never do. So don't let it happen to you in the first place. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is much more than your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using their combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. They are the biggest and they are the best. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. We're going to take a brief break. Lori Purdy will be joining me on the other side. More of your calls are coming up. Stay right where you are.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the Volunteer State, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time, for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
The The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, I'm on a George Harrison kick tonight. Actually, I think I've been on a George Harrison kick for about the last 44 years or so. Lori Purdy is back with me. Lori also lives here in Sussex County, Delaware. She's a lifelong Sussex Countyan and, like me, is a Republican activist here in the interest of full disclosure. So, Lori, you know, I think at the end of the day, and I think I was talking to Grossman or somebody about this today, a people get the government they deserve. And if the voters don't pay attention to what these people in Washington are doing, then they are going to get bad senators, bad congressmen. They're going to get people in there who clearly, I mean, if you don't know the first three or fourth amendments, or, you know, a person should know the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. An American ought to know that. That ought to be the common core.
But you
know,
see,
every
Duke,
American needs to know those things.
But you see, Duke, it's not taught anymore. And
that's right.
It's not taught in schools. It's not taught in the schools. It's not taught. My grandsons, who I teach these things to, aren't taught that in school at all. They have not gotten anything that I have taught them. And by the time you're 13, you should at least have something. You should know something. And a lot of people, like this Common Core that's come in, there's not time to learn how to write, they said. So they're not going to teach the kids cursive writing. Well, if you don't teach the kids cursive writing, they'll never be able to read the founding documents. How are they going to read the founding documents? How are they going to read the Constitution?
Well,
if they're not taught how to read writing.
It is absurd that anyone would not, you know, that is just ridiculous. Lori, I've got another call, but
okay.
Thank you so much for calling in, dear friend, and I look forward to seeing you again very, very soon. Bless you.
Okay. Bless you. See you.
Have a great night, hon. Bye-bye. All righty, you are live on Radio Free America. Who's this? Are you there, caller? Well, somebody is calling in from the 208 area code, and I'm not entirely sure exactly where that is. However, I think I can probably find out. Let's see. I think that's Washington State, or is that 206? I forget. That is in Idaho. 208 is in Idaho. Idaho, are you on the air? Are you there? I've got their mic up, but it sounded like somebody was there. Yeah, that person dropped off. Oh, well. I know somebody that is from Idaho. He's a great guy and an engineer named Gary McDaniel, but Gary now lives in Santa Cruz, California, with the rest of his Silicon Valley buddies up there. So that probably was not Gary calling. But, you know, if the home of the Snake River Canyon, Idaho, the home of the greatest potatoes in the entire world, wants to call back in, the number is 718-305-7176. Gary once told me, Gary grew up in Boise, and he said to me, you cannot really get Idaho potatoes in Idaho because they are exported all over the world and all over the country. And I understand that. There really is nothing. I mean, look, I'm a foodie. Okay, I love food. I'm about 30 pounds overweight. You know, I did see one chart that a person like me who is almost 6'3", you know, would have an ideal weight of something like 193 or something like that. I think for me, that's kind of, if I could somehow get down to below 205, I would be very happy. I think I'm about 232 or 233 right now. I just love great food. And one of the greatest foods, I think, is a huge baked potato, you know, baked in the oven, wrapped up in an aluminum foil jacket, and you cut that thing open, and the steam escapes, some butter, some sour cream, maybe some shredded cheddar, some bacon bits, chives, you know, that sort of thing. It is just, no wonder I'm overweight, right? I know what you're thinking. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. In any event, trying to retrieve something from this kind of stream of consciousness thing that is going on here, that Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, this guy is obviously a Marxist. There are a lot of people like that in New York City. Unfortunately, I don't fully understand. Well, maybe, you know, I do. I mean, I was born and raised in Manhattan, and we lived in the New York, immediately in the New York metro area from the time that I was, until I was about 11 and a half. So I grew up in New York City, and I'm very glad that I did. But my dad on one occasion made a very interesting observation. He said, if you want to live in New York City, you must be either very rich or very poor. And he was exactly correct. When we lived there, we did okay. I mean, we might have been some of the very last kind of sort of semi-middle-class people to move out of New York, because as of the mid-70s and especially getting into the 80s, you simply, you know, unless you were earning $250,000 a year, you couldn't afford to live there. Or unless you were earning less than $25,000, then you could, because there were all kinds of subsidies. But the thing that has done more to wreck New York City and has done more to harm and make it virtually impossible for middle-class people is something called rent control. We can talk about this in the future, but this is, at the end of the day, this is the idea that the government will tell a landlord how much the landlord can charge. Amazingly, I believe the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld it. All the courts in New York State have, United States District and Circuit Courts, Courts of Appeal, have held it up, and it is a bizarre, and what it does is if you own a building, all right, here it is in a nutshell. Let us imagine that you own a building. It is an apartment building. You have a mortgage that you must pay. You have other expenses, taxes, you've got insurance, you have utilities, you have maintenance, you have all these expenses. The majority of those expenses go up incrementally, either monthly or every year, every quarter. However, the amount of money that you can charge your customers is going to be fixed by law. Your income has a ceiling, and the floor of your expenses is constantly moving up. You are going to get squeezed out. When I was a kid driving around with my parents in New York, going somewhere, going here, going there, I would often see these large apartment buildings that were obviously abandoned. No one lived in them. The windows were broken out. Some were boarded up. There was graffiti everywhere. The parking lot was grown over, and they were fenced off. And I used to wonder, why did it get like that? It got like that because in New York City there is rent control. And rent control basically is a sort of crypto-socialist way of saying, oh, you own the building? Well, how did you steal the money to get that? We're going to punish you because you own the building, and we're going to just basically squeeze you out because, after all, that is more fair and it's more just in the minds of people who do not know anything at all about anything. Now, that having been said, this country, our country, America, is still the freest country on earth. And patriots like us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away. And our very own constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading that charge. Go, Matt, go get him. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for, I'm sorry, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberties under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I've got a feeling that we're soon going to be hearing from that crazy constitutional scholar, and I don't mean a postcard. 718-305-7176 is the number. We've got just under 13 and a half minutes to go for this episode of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Very, very glad that you are with me. The storm that it's called Winter Storm Pax. Now they're naming winter storms, and these have all kind of Romanesque sounding names. They are calling for 10 to 14 inches of snow tonight back in New York City. I haven't yet gotten to the story about the man puts gun to plow driver's head. Why don't we go ahead and take a look at this via the Drudge Report. It is from CBS Channel 2 in Pittsburgh, KDKA-TV in Pittsburgh. This is one of the storied, legendary broadcast operations in this country. This came in at 2:20 Eastern Time this afternoon in Union Township, Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh. A Lawrence County man is facing charges after he allegedly put a gun to a snowplow driver's head who pushed some snow into his yard. According to a police report, 64-year-old Richard Eckert was arrested, arraigned on several charges, and released on $10,000 in bond. The incident happened Monday afternoon along Underwood Street in Union Township. Police say Eckert became angry when the self-employed driver, John Abraham, accidentally pushed some snow into his yard while cleaning a neighbor's driveway. Quote, "I went like this to put it in park, and there was a gun right here in my face," unquote, Abraham said. Eckert is then accused of taking a .22 caliber, oh, this is great, they spelled caliber C-A-L-I-B-U-R, .22 caliber pistol out of his coat and pressing it against Abraham's cheek, telling him to remove the snow. It's one of those things, I think I can understand the outrage. I can understand that. But you're just not allowed to put guns in people's ear. You're just not allowed to do that. I'm sorry. In any event, it is now about just under 11 minutes until the end of this episode of Radio Free America. We are going to take a quick break. More of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Well, all righty, welcome back. This is the home stretch. Sadly, we will not be hearing from Matthew Opalisky. I just got a text from him. He's, I'm not really sure, but normally we would be speaking with Matthew at about this time, filling us in on tomorrow night's edition of the Liberty and Constitution Community. Hey, listen, I'm not going to get too bent out of shape about it. I didn't call in to Jennifer Meadows last night. Excuse me, and I should have. And I feel really, really bad about that. 718-305-7176 is the number. Now, for a little tiny bit of inside baseball here. Anyway, Kevin Wade was at our home on Sunday. I mentioned to Michael Smith's mom, BJ, in Texas, in Fort Worth, Billie Jean. Very, very nice lady. Just love her to death. She's the greatest. I mentioned on the phone to her earlier today that I had made Eggs Benedict for Kevin and his wife, Gail, and their two grandchildren, who came down to visit with us on Sunday. And BJ said she was getting jealous. I love to make Eggs Benedict. However, Linda and I had a very, very early wake-up on Sunday. The house next door to ours was burning down. And Linda just kind of awoke at around 5:30, and she had to visit the necessary room for ladies. And out of the corner of her eye, out the frosted window, she saw flickering flames. And then she got me up. She had just called 911. And about, she was still on the phone with 911, and you could hear the sirens coming. And there were nine pieces of fire apparatus that arrived right next door to us on Sunday morning. Very, you know, one would think, well, that sounds like quite an overreaction. And they came from Lewis, which is our town. They came from Rehoboth Beach, which is the next incorporated municipality south of us. And they came from Milton, Delaware, which is the next incorporated municipality north of us. Milton, incidentally, a small town. It's named after the English poet John Milton, the guy that wrote Paradise Lost, which a lot of people had to read in college. I did all kinds of things to avoid having to read any John Milton when I was in college, in any event. Basically, what, you know, this was a home, and the people had bought it 6 or 8 months ago, I think at some point in the summer. Nice lady. She is basically a vacationer. She lives in Pennsylvania. And we saw flames coming out of the roof of the house. And I don't know anything about firefighting. And I thought, well, maybe I should just, you know, hook up a couple of hoses and spray it off and put it out. Well, the people on 911 told Linda specifically, don't go over there. Don't try to do anything about it yourself. And I'm glad they did, because basically what it comes down to is that if the flames are coming out of the roof, the entire inside of the house is already gutted. And that basically is the situation. Now, there were at least 40, maybe 50 firemen there. There were cadets, there were kids 14, 15 years old that were actual official fire department cadets, and they were wearing the red fireman's hat, which identified them as cadets. And, you know, I guess if you are the kind of person who is that committed to the physical safety of your community, when the fire alarm goes off, you're not going to care what time it is. You are going to go out and try to fight that fire. And that's what these people did. And, you know, it's like 10 minutes of six on a Sunday morning. Thankfully, there were no winds. No wind. That could have blown some embers into trees. It could have blown them onto people's lawns. I don't know if it would have reached our house, but in any event, they did put up ladders. They did get up on the roof. It was very interesting to watch, and they broke almost all of the windows out of the house. I felt kind of frustrated, primarily because what I wanted to do is I wanted to make about 5 or 6 dozen scrambled eggs. I wanted to have 8 or 10 gallons of coffee, 4 or 5 pounds of bacon, 6 or 8 dozen English muffins, 25 pounds of potato. That's what I wanted to cook for everybody. You know, that's what I wanted to do. But we simply did not have that much food in the house, and we hadn't even started the coffee pot yet. But these people came. They protected our neighborhood by putting out the fire. A few hours later, the lady's brother, who lives in Millsboro, which is a town that's kind of west of us, southwest of us, he came. And several hours later, she arrived from her real-life home in Pennsylvania. And I felt so sorry for the lady. Now, fortunately, the real big deal is the fact that no one was hurt. There wasn't even as much as a sprained ankle amongst the firefighters, and that's a good thing. And, of course, there was no one at home in the house. They had it boarded up by a company called, on their truck, it's a 1-800-BOARDED-UP. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. But anyway, next week, Christian from Denmark, Brad Bierman from the world of sports. And I hope that you have an absolutely wonderful week and continue to listen to Radio Free America next Wednesday. Have a great night, and thanks for being along.